Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Yeah, this is it. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to Tampa Babe. I am your host, Kenzie. If you are new here, Tampa Babe is a podcast all about my life living in Tampa, Florida, in the pursuit of health, happiness, and therapy. Thank you guys so much for all of your support last week and being so kind to Jordan. And also hello to all of those who may have found us through Jordan's page. It is so nice to meet you. If you guys are OGs here on the show, you may notice that things sound a little bit different this week. That's right, I got a new microphone. Yeah, I'm going to do that like pretty much the entire show. So just get ready if it is still a little bit kind of splotchy throughout the show. Not splotchy. What's the word? Shitty, I guess would be the word. If it sounds shitty throughout the episode, please feel free to let me know. However, and also, but I'm super excited. I am so happy to have such supportive fans like you guys who allow me to be able to buy things like new mics and headsets and cables and cords and softwares and all the things. So this week, I need to take a fucking breath. I feel like I haven't talked to anybody today because I haven't. I have been working nonstop since like 6:45 this morning and I haven't spoken to anybody yet. I did talk to the dog. He's doing very well. He wanted me to tell you guys hi. No, he didn't, but he did. So this week I wanted to start a new segment on the show. So obviously this episode is called Things My Therapist Has to Deal With. Honestly, it's just really a roast and then my thoughts on therapy, and we will get into that in just one second. But first, I want to talk about some small businesses. So I know during COVID there was a huge emphasis on supporting small business. I don't think that should stop with COVID. To be honest with you, I really do believe that small businesses are the backbone of our economy, and they really are the backbone of what it's like to, you know, live the American dream. And a lot of people have been misplaced during COVID because their small businesses were not being supported and people didn't have the extra income to be able to buy some of the things that they were selling or to support them in that way. So if you follow me on Instagram, on my personal Instagram at Ken_Z Mitchell, you may have seen that I did ask people to send in recommendations, specifically those who are owned by people of color, Asian-owned industries, and also not Asian-owned industries. What am I saying? Asian-owned businesses, and also businesses that are led by women. So I just wanted to really quick go over some of those, some of the feedback that I got.
Guess what? Benefits everybody. Hurts nobody.
Okay, so let's kick it off. So I got a recommendation for a jewelry company called Hey Maeve. I believe that's how you pronounce it. It's HEYMAEVE jewelry. It is Asian women owned. So double whammy there. I looked at their Instagram, guys. So fucking cute. Really chic, really high quality looking pieces. I will definitely be ordering stuff from there and letting you guys know what I think. But I mean, they have like 93,000 followers on Instagram, and it looks like one of their highlights is that they were on E! News. So I would definitely check them out. They seem very credible. The girl seems super, super sweet that runs it. Another one that I was that was brought to my attention was the Clean Refillery. And that is based in Austin, Texas. They are a clean business, so like a green business. They are into clean personal care and household items. And they're based out of a mobile home, which I think is super cool. So they're like in a van that goes to different places. And their Instagram is really cool too. So definitely go give them a follow. It looks like they've only got like 427 followers, which honestly for a small business is awesome. But we should always do what we can to help people. Also looks like they have refilling tips. So that's pretty cool. Another one that is actually very close to where my apartment is called the Salt Surf Company. That is a tongue twister, actually. The girls that own it are so, so nice. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a surf shack. They sell bathing suits, sunscreen, towels, really, really cute, like beachy clothes. They have brands like Billabong, a lot of stuff that you would find at PacSun, but instead of supporting a company like PacSun that, makes millions and billions of dollars a year, go support a smaller company. And also, it's just cute, and the girls are really sweet, so you get to have a conversation with really nice people. And our last shout out of the day goes to the Black Business Bus Tour LLC. So this is a Florida-based company, and their goal was to raise awareness of the Black businesses in various communities. And the tours that they lead basically create economic development for current and future business owners. Super cool. They have a bunch of recommendations on their site as well to some of the businesses that they tour, and it's owned by, it looks like, Candy Love, I believe I'm saying that correctly. So, or Candy Lowe, sorry, Lowe. Definitely go check out all of these businesses. Let them know that Tampa Babe sent you. And yeah, just continue to support small business in every way that you can, even if it's not one of these businesses. Obviously, small businesses don't need to be owned by traditionally like divisionalized groups, but you should always support them because people specifically in those groups have the hardest time growing their business. So do your part. All right, thanks. All right, so now to the really fun stuff. Let's talk about why I'm mentally unwell. To be honest with you guys, this week, I've heard this from so many people. I was actually listening to another podcast today, and they mentioned this as well. Like, everybody this week is so tired. And even like last week, I was super, super tired all week. Probably doesn't help that I'm not sleeping, but I'm just curious as to why I'm not. Like, I'm exhausted. Like, I can't even get to the gym. I haven't been able to sleep. I've been craving really like intense foods. And before you even ask, number one, no, I'm not pregnant. And number two, it's not the other thing either. I think it's just there's just something. Mercury is in retrograde. That has to be what it is. But anyway, yeah, so even if I was getting enough sleep, I'm still pretty mentally unwell, but I'm not quite mentally unstable anymore. Great segue. Thanks to Julie. Who the fuck is Julie? Julie is my therapist. Yes, so I asked Julie if she was okay, actually, if I would be mentioning her name and saying these things today. And to quote her exactly, she said, "I don't give a shit. Sounds good to me." So you can already see right off the bat why we love her so much. Honestly, this came to me, this idea came to me after a really awesome conversation I had with a couple of my friends a few nights ago when we were a little bit wine tipsy by a fire a few nights ago. And just this idea of therapy, like how to find a good therapist, this concept of dating your therapist, so to speak, to find the best fit for you. And best practices that you have in therapy, favorite parts about therapy, the funniest and weirdest shit that like comes out in therapy, and just overall my journey. So like where I started, we're all human beings supposedly. So treating your therapist like a person and like understanding that they can empathize with you and sympathize with you, and what opening that jar of worms or can of worms, whatever the expression is, looks like. I keep hitting the mic. Can you guys hear me just absolutely obliterating my phone? It's the mic is plugged into my phone and I just keep absolutely smacking the shit out of it. So sorry about that noise. Let's all just take a deep breath together. Ready? Everyone do your three deep breaths. Ready? I'm gonna put the mic on echo so we can all do this together and it'd be really intense. Here we go. Oh yeah. All right. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Okay, cool. I hope that was equally as like awkward for all of you as it felt for me. I actually really love breathing exercises. I think they're super necessary, and if nothing else, they can at least calm your mind so that you're at least focusing on your breathing and not on whatever it is that you're stressing about. So before you knock it, you should try it. So how do you find a good therapist? It depends. It depends on who you are as a person. It depends on what you want to get out of therapy. And it depends on obviously your financial and your living situation. I used to be really against teletherapy. Teletherapy. Oh my God, I cannot speak. I was really against it because I was like, that's so impersonal. Like, I'm just going to talk to a person through a screen and just like pretend that they, like, I have a connection with them. Like, no, I can't do that. But then COVID hit. And I know I mentioned to you guys about my last toxic job, but before that, I had an even more toxic job. And I promise I am not the denominator in those situations. If you have ever, and I mean ever, even for 2 days, worked in corporate America, you know that, oh, when you are the bottom of the barrel, you really are the bottom of the barrel. I won't say what company I worked for, but I will say it was not Ford. And it was based in Detroit. So I worked there, and the people I worked with were horrible. There was only one person I liked. I'm not going to say her name, because I didn't ask her if I could, so I'm not going to. But that job was horrible, and I literally had to start going to therapy because of that job. And then my whole goal was to get a new job after COVID because of getting fired because of COVID. And I was like, oh yeah, I found this new job. It's going to be amazing. But this is one of those jobs that's like manipulative and like top secret toxic. Like, they'll take you out to these like fun lunches and take you to see clients and like dangle like fun business trips in your face. And then they'll just like ruin your life. And I don't want to get into it because I'm not in therapy right now and there's nothing you guys can do about it. But I'll just say this. If any of those people from that job are listening, I fucking hate you. And thank you for teaching me exactly what I don't want out of a job. That wasn't a pause for a dramatic effect. I was just thirsty. Sorry for not cutting things like that out. I just think it's funnier, and I love the feeling that you guys are like sitting in my living room with me having like a chat. So anyway, yeah, so that job sucked. I was mentally just depleting by the day, and I was just doubting myself. I was like, do I need to get like into a different field? Like, should I go back to school for something totally different? And that can cause a serious like self-identity crisis, which is essentially what I was having. But I think that over the years, I was really, like I said, I was just hesitant to do teletherapy, and that was all that was available to me during COVID. But I also know that when I have the same therapist for a long time, I end up doing a lot better than when I get a new therapist. I've only had four therapists in my life. And honestly, they were all great. They were, except for one of them, I didn't love, but I had a therapist from the time I was 11 until I was 18, but they were a child psychologist, so I obviously was not, they weren't equipped to help me with as many adult problems as, you know, someone who is trained in that sector. She was also based in Chicago, and I was not, so that, you know, presented a different barrier to us as well. I had one therapist before, after her in college. They were a very nice person, but I don't think that they were equipped to work with what I'm dealing with. They were just super nice and just really were about like positive thinking and, you know, practicing certain things. And that's so great. And I don't say that sarcastically, like, that's an awesome thing to work on. But I really wasn't there yet. I had a lot of traumas and mental illness, and honestly, trauma from mental illness that I needed to work past. And they were very much like, we'll put you on a really light antidepressant, really low dose, and we're just going to talk about life being good. And when life is good, things are good. And when things are good, we are happy. I'm like, bitch, I cannot get out of bed in the morning. How do you think I'm gonna put like some rainbow smiley face stickers all over my face? Like, I'm not in a space to be able to do that yet. Not to say that I couldn't be, I just wasn't there. So I did the thing you shouldn't do to anybody, especially not a therapist, because it's also just kind of rude, because their office will keep contacting you. Little did I know, I ghosted my therapist. Oh, I know that's so bad, but we weren't jiving. It was like a bad first day that wouldn't end. I just kept talking about myself and what I studied in college and like my relationship with my family. And I felt like we were very surface level. Like I didn't really feel like I could tell her anything. So I ghosted her, yada, yada, blah, blah. I get a new therapist about 3 months later. Her name is Megan. She was amazing. She was a therapist that I acquired through my college. She ended up leaving the hospital at my college for other reasons, but she was a really great therapist. She was my boyfriend and I's therapist actually before he left for Afghanistan. And if anybody listening has a partner that's in the military and they have not been deployed yet or they are deployable, I absolutely recommend going with your partner to therapy and sort of working through whatever core issues you may have, because when you're 3,000 miles apart, it makes those issues just like they just blow up in your face. And if you don't deal with them, if we hadn't dealt with them before he left, I swear to you, like there is absolutely no way we would have made it through that process. But you make it through just like everybody else does. So I basically just text back and forth with Megan for a couple of months. And then I take a break completely from therapy. I don't talk to Megan and I don't have an active therapist. But we're right about to get around to the time of COVID. And I was new to Detroit, so I didn't have somebody in that area. So I literally just Googled like therapists near me. And the only stuff that was really available immediately was teletherapy. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, I was super against that, but I really, really needed it. So then I start meeting with her. We're doing our like introductory meeting where you like explain your past trauma on a really high level. Like you're like, oh yeah, I have anxiety and depression and OCD and like, and I'm not going to say what else I say in therapy because you guys aren't actually my therapist and there's nothing in HIPAA preventing you guys from spilling my tea everywhere or from me putting it on the internet. But I tell her all these things and I kind of get to know her. I like her immediately. So I think my first bit of advice would be to treat your therapist, your first session with your therapist at least, like a first date. So you see if you jive, you see if there's that spark, and if you feel like this person just really gets you or it's somebody you could really enjoy talking to, I would absolutely explore that more. And it's okay to see multiple therapists at one time, just like it's okay if you're single to date multiple people at one time, unless you're in like a polyamorous relationship and then you can do that all the time. But I immediately was like, yeah, this lady's going to be really good for me. I really love that she swore. I know a lot of you have given me feedback, not a lot of you, I shouldn't say a lot of you, there's been like three of you who have said that you don't like that I swear so much. And I'm really sorry for that. If that's something that more of you are disliking and you wanted a safe space to be able to tell me that, this episode would be your time. Feel free to DM me or you can comment on the podcast anywhere. Brief segue, we're also on Apple Podcasts now, by the way. Anyway. She swears. She swears a bunch in our first session. I'm like, Julie, my girl, like, can you say that? Like, I literally felt like I was in church. Like, I'm like, are you allowed to say that here? And she like would look at me every time that she did it. And then she at one point was like, does the cursing make you uncomfortable? And I was like, no, I fucking love it. And she laughed so hard. And I was like, yeah, Julie's my girl forever. I could just tell that we had a good rapport and I appreciated that even though at the time I was about 22, she really respected me as an adult. I really don't like when people treat people in their 20s like they're seventh graders. Like you're still an adult. I still had a full-time job. I still paid all my own bills. I still lived away from home. I deserved to be treated like an adult because I was an adult. And she didn't make me think I had to constantly prove that to her. Like, she didn't demean me and make me feel like I constantly needed to remind her of that. And then there's a lot of people I think that could learn from that. But I just immediately trusted her. And I think if you're looking for like a best practice or good traits to look for in a therapist or in an environment in which you're partaking in therapy, it's definitely trust. It's honesty. And most importantly, I would say vulnerability. I don't know if anybody else out there is like this, but for me, I often feel like when I meet a new therapist or if I'm partaking in something in therapy because I've been doing it for 14 years, I feel like I kind of can play the system now. Like, I know enough about CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's the type of therapy that I've done most of my life. I just know what they're looking for. And like when they would take notes, I'm like, I know why you're writing that down. Like, don't worry about it. It's not that deep. But don't try and play the system and always be vulnerable with them, even if you think that something bad might come out of it or they might tell you something you don't want to hear. Like, you're in therapy for a reason. Like, even if the reason has nothing to do with, you don't think at least, with the statement you just made, there's likely a reason. So just trust the process, be honest, and be vulnerable. Let them know that, I don't necessarily feel 100% comfortable talking about my childhood, or I don't 100% feel comfortable talking about that parent or that area of my life, or talking about that relationship that failed or that friend that I don't like. Like, I might mention it to you, but maybe we're not at a place yet where I'm ready to talk about that. And that's okay. Like, you're allowed to say that. It's the same thing as like if you go to the doctor, like if they're like, you need this shot, you can be like, no, I don't need that shot. I don't want that shot. And if like, well, we're going to give it to you, you can say no still. Your health care, your health, your brain, your mind, everything, it's up to you. So I would also emphasize if a therapist gives you homework, I don't know if any of you have been exposed to this, but I often have therapists give me things to do outside of our sessions, which I actually really enjoy. Like, Julie sends me texts a couple times a week of like a cool meditation she heard or like a podcast she really liked. And sometimes she does it because I like told her about the podcast and she's like, hey, I think you should try something like this on your show. I think people would really enjoy it. Or, hey, I heard this and I thought around this timestamp. I know you don't have time to listen to the whole thing, but why don't you like take part in like some of the things that they're saying here? Or like a consciousness journal. This is super popular in therapy, where first thing in the morning or last thing at night, if you are someone who struggles with sleep or early morning anxiety, just let it all out. Just write it down. Like, even if it doesn't make any sense when you read it back, just feeling like you have a space to talk about things and to get them off your chest. That's why I have a podcast and lots of journals. It is just so helpful. And it feels like it doesn't live rent-free in your mind. And you're entitled to that freedom of not having to worry about things until they emulsify and like melt your brain. And my last piece of advice on therapy, not my last piece, but another very important piece, would be putting a conscious effort towards not just trying something one time and feeling weird about it and not continuing with it. Like, again, with these conscious thought journals, like the first time I did it, I was like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever done. Like, why am I sitting here basically having a diary? But it's not a diary and it's not stupid. It is really helpful. It might not be helpful for you. Might not be helpful for Joe Schmo off the street, but it's super helpful to just try something. Because the best part of therapy is that even on your worst day, you're actively trying to be better. And it's the same thing as like if you're an addict. If you're sober for at least one day, that's way better than spending that day drunk or high. So if you're putting in the time and you're putting in the effort, and if you're paying for something specifically, tap yourself on the back. Give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Even if you don't go to a traditional therapist, even if you visit with like a life coach, that's huge. Like, my friend Alex is a life coach. She has changed people's lives, and I hear it and I see it every single day. You can even hear it in the way that our friends talk to each other. So if you know that continuously you have a really, really rough day and you just feel down on yourself because you're like, well, and I'm not even trying. Try. Go to therapy, get a life coach, get a journal, do what it is that will make you feel like you're putting an effort towards being better, and you will feel better. I promise. I want to talk about drugs. What do drugs have to do with this conversation around therapy? Unfortunately, a lot more than I'd like to admit. So for a long time, I was on antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication, and mood stabilizers all at the same time. I was literally like Wolf of Wall Street. Like, I take an Adderall to wake me up, Zoloft to calm me back down, Quaaludes to wake me back up, like blah, 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 whatever. So I was on antidepressants for about 7 years. I was on anti-anxiety medication for about 6 years. And I was on mood stabilizers for about 5 years. They were great, absolutely. And I think they absolutely have their place where they belong in medicine and where they belong in mental health. That being said, my experience with them was very negative. But that's not to say that that is everybody's experience. I think it's ignorant to assume that. But my issue with the medication is the level at which they're prescribed. I think too many people are prescribed these medications. And I also think that they're prescribed to kids who are way too young. When I started my journey with medicated therapy, I was like 11. And the first time I was put on antidepressants, I was like 12 or 13. Which means I wasn't even in high school yet. And then by the time I was on anti-anxiety medicine, I was like 13 or 14, so I would have just been starting high school. And then when I was on mood stabilizers, I was finishing high school. I was finishing my freshman year of high school. All that to say that I felt like a zombie. And I hate that I hear that from people so often. I literally felt like this hollowed shell of myself, and I would randomly have these really weird outbursts, and I felt really bad for my family after reflecting on this later, several years after I'd already been in therapy, when my now therapist asked me if I'd be open to medication. And I was like, well, I smoke weed, and that seems to help sometimes, but sometimes it makes the anxiety worse. It just kind of depends what strain you're smoking. But other than that, I've always been kind of afraid of it, to be honest with you. Because when you lose this cognitive ability to think about your emotions or to even have access to your emotions, you're sort of taking a step back. And right now I'm in holistic therapy, and I think the most important thing to know about holistic therapy is it is not about crystals, and it's not about how do you feel about that. It's more so like, what tools can I give you so you don't feel like you need drugs? What can I give you so you don't feel like I need to take you to a hospital to like check in on yourself? And that's not to say that people with like extreme mental health disorders that have to be hospitalized and that feel like they do need medication and that medication is a really positive experience for them. This is absolutely not the same situation. But as I've discussed on the podcast before, I have anxiety, depression, OCD, and ADHD. Excuse me. And those together can be really difficult, especially when in the early 2000s and mid 2000s, anxiety and depression was completely roped together. They were treated and diagnosed almost in the same exact way, but they were given separate medications. And I find it so interesting now as an adult to look back on that and to think of all of the progress I could have made at this point in my life with my mental health had I not been medicated so early. If I'd been, you know, learning these tools and tricks like grounding, where you take deep breaths and you feel your fingertips and you put your toes in the sand or in the grass and you just kind of feel and you think, and you're allowed to access and lean into the feelings that you're having, whether they're positive or negative. That's a huge thing to be able to do, or even to be able to physically ground yourself. My favorite way to physically ground myself is through music. And I guess that could be mentally grounding as well. It really just depends how you look at it. But my favorite songs to do that with are like comedy albums, like what Bo Burnham does, or Christmas music, or musicals. Like, I think it's so important to find things that make you happy, even if they're small things. And I know that we talked about this earlier, but like, it's the same idea of like, even on your worst day, you're actively trying to be better. Yeah, I listen to music that's silly and funny because at some point it puts a smile on my face, or it transports me to a different spot than, you know, sitting in my living room being stressed about work. And I think having access to things like that is something that we should be teaching in schools. It should be things that parents, it should be conversations parents are having with their kids. It's conversations siblings should be having with each other. It's conversations friends should be having with each other. And to be honest with you, that's sort of where I'm at right now. That is a space where I'm in, where I'm still learning tools, doing my consciousness journals every day. Julie, you'd be so proud if you're listening. I am doing this podcast and I'm being vulnerable about my struggles without giving away too much information, so I still feel a little bit guarded and protected. And I'm having open conversations with my friends and my family about boundaries, saying I'm too tired to, you know, go have a drink tonight, or maybe alcohol's not really a good decision for me tonight because I'm not feeling like I'm in a really positive mental space and being hungover makes my anxiety really bad. Or saying I can't have a conversation with a difficult family member because they didn't respect my boundaries and I'm not going to ask them twice to respect me as an adult and as a person. Or a difficult friend where you have to kind of just let them go because they're really, really bad for your mental health, and that doesn't make you a bad person for looking out for yourself. So I don't think that a mental health journey stops and starts with therapy. I don't think it stops and starts with medication. I don't think it stops and starts with learning these tools. I think just like your physical health, you don't get to lose 30 pounds and be skinny for the rest of your life, right? You have to work on your brain every single day. You have to make conscious efforts all the time. And it seems like a lot of work, but we have a privilege in being human beings and having this space where we're able to grow and evolve and change and learn every single day. And I think that we should utilize that more and not weaponize it. I just want to end this section of the podcast by saying thank you all so much for giving me a space to feel like I can be honest and vulnerable and talk about things like this that are really important to me. If mental health is something that triggers you or is something that you do not believe in, I would ask that you don't listen to these episodes of the show, because I don't think mental health is something that we should be talking negatively about. And if you've had a different experience or you have different viewpoints on mental health, that is totally valid and completely fine. Just save it for a different space because it doesn't belong here. With that in mind, we are going to take big deep breaths. I'm going to grab a quick glass of wine. And I have a story for you guys about how I insulted a drag queen this week. And then we're going to read some Florida Man headlines. Stay tuned. Cheers, y'all. Okay. Oh, I gotta put the top back on that. Okay, dokie. All right. Boyfriend's blowing my shit up. Like, boo, I'm recording. All right. So I have a story for you guys. And it's embarrassing. And I know, and I just want you all to know that I mean this in the most lighthearted way possible. I'm so fucking embarrassed that I did this. And I wish that I could just crawl inside myself and die. I literally can't even think about it any further without taking a sip. Hold on. Shout out to TJ's, Trader Joe's, Charles Shaw, 2018 California Pinot Noir. You're helping me get through this together. So This week I went to a drag bingo with my friend Madison and some of her friends from home. She's originally from Memphis. Shout out Memphis. And she texted me the night before. She also owns a small business. Actually, no, you know what? Nope. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. We got to give Madison her point. Hold on. I'm going to pull up her Instagram so I can properly shout it out for you guys. 2 seconds. Madison, if you're listening to this, what's up, boo? Madison, my sister, if you're listening to this, what's also up, boo? Okay. All right. So the Instagram is at the Coral Crab FL. So TheCoralCrabFL. She is just the sweetest, kindest person in the entire world. And her little Southern accent is like literally the cutest thing. Their website is thecoralcrab.com. She specializes in small businesses in Florida, especially if you own a retail store. She focuses on women-made, USA-made, coastal, and one-of-a-kind products. So make sure that you follow her. All right. Back to the story. She invited me to come to this drag show, and she didn't specify that it was at bingo. She didn't specify it was at like a restaurant or anything. So I'm just like, oh, we're gonna go to like a drag show downtown. So we get there, and then she's telling me all about how it's like drag bingo. We have such a good time. We have these delicious margaritas at Zochil in downtown Tampa across from Armature Works. Great spot if you need a great margarita and like a really fairly priced taco. Just so, so good. But we're there and we're drinking and I'm having tequila. And if you know me, you know tequila makes me a little sassy and funny. But we are drinking. We're all getting kind of drunk. We're eating tacos. And I'm like, I have to pee. Like, I have to break the seal. I can't wait any longer. And she's like, yeah, just like go run to the bathroom. Like, the bingo was paused. Like, they were about to start performing. So I was like, okay, awesome. So and my friend Madison is not one of the drag queens, by the way. So I'm like waiting for the bathroom, and I see one of the drag queens like come out of the bathroom, and I was like, oh, sweet. And I thought it was like a multiple person bathroom. And if it was a one person bathroom, that I'd be good, 'cause I could just like go in either way. But I see them come out, and I go back in, and I open the door, and the two other drag queens are standing there. They don't have tops on, but they have their boobs on already, and they're wearing bottoms, and I'm just staring at them. And I like was like a deer in headlights, and I wasn't staring because of it bothered me. I was staring because I was like, I just walked in on someone changing, like regardless if you're a drag queen, a man, a woman, a child, like whatever. I was like, this is weird. I'm so sorry. But that's not what I said. That's not what I said, guys. I could have just said, I'm sorry, and closed the door. I could have not stared and just closed the door. What did I do, you guys? What the fuck did I do? I opened the door. I stare at them for 10 seconds at least, but it felt like a lifetime. And I go, sorry, guys, girls, ladies, I don't know, I'm sorry. And I slam the door. And then I just stand outside the bathroom because I still have to pee, but I can't go in there now. And I don't want to be standing right here when they come out. So I just like look at another girl who's standing next to me, and she's like, is the bathroom open? And I was like, no, there's people changing in there. And she's like, oh, okay, no problem. I'm like, why couldn't I be you? I'd rather be anybody in the world right now, but why could I not be you? A person who asked, is the bathroom open? Oh, okay, no problem. I'll just wait. Nope, I walk back to my table, and then one of the first performers to come out comes right up to our table and is just looking at me. I'm like, they think I'm a fucking creep. They think I'm judgy. They think I'm like an awful person. And they just start talking about like respect and fun and like whatever. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then I realized I don't have any cash on me. If you've ever been to a drag show, you know that like it's polite to tip them like while they dance and sing and do their show. I'm like, fuck. So not only do I look like the most intolerant fuck in this whole place, I also don't have any money to contribute to their performance. And everybody at my tables brought like stacks of ones. But because she told me the day before, I didn't even think about going out to get it. I was like, oh, we're just going to like go to dinner and like see a drag show. Like it is what it is. You guys, I can't go back. I can't. I literally get back to my table, and I had texted Madison while I was waiting, and she didn't see it until I sat down. And I recap for the table what just happened, and they're all cackling. And I'm like, fuck, if they come out now, they're going to think I'm like laughing at them and like telling like a mean story to these girls. Again, you can see where this anxiety manifests for me in real time. I'm just like sitting there and I'm like so embarrassed. And then we're leaving and like we're the last people there. Like we closed out this place. And they were all just like sitting there, like staring at our table periodically. And like I know they didn't care. In my heart, in my soul, in all of my being, I know they truly did not care. But I just couldn't look past it. So if you are the drag queen that I insulted by staring at you, or if you are their friend who is standing right next to them in the dressing room, I'm so sorry. It's time for the Florida Man. Hi. Okay. Are you ready for Florida Man headlines? Brought to you by Florida Man thread on Reddit. Florida Man in the making, teen arrested for returning to the crime scene to get his baddie's Gucci sandals. Florida man robs veterinarian for ketamine in his robe. Florida woman arrested after exposing herself on a plane. Florida man and Florida woman arrested for assaulting each other with spaghetti. Florida man finds iguana in his toilet. Florida man refuses to poop before QB battle at Jaguars camp. You've gotta be nuts. Florida man submits to voluntary at-home castration. Would-be urologist gets 3 years. Drunk Florida man picks kid up from daycare, comes back to pick kid up from daycare. Florida man bitten by Jacksonville Jaguar. Florida man, a veteran detective, charged with misdemeanor theft for stealing spiny lobsters from a boat that he had pulled over. Florida man jailed for performing botched castration at his home on a man he met on a fetish site. Victim's nuts were found in a jar beside bed table. Florida man sticks his hand in a jaguar cage at the zoo. Jaguar 1, Florida man 0. All right, you guys, that concludes this week's episode of Tampa Babe. Thank you guys so much for being here with me. If you are looking to stay up to date with all things Tampa Babe or me personally, you can follow us on Instagram at Tampa Babe, BAYBE podcast on Instagram. That's what that platform is called. You can also follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Ken underscore Z Mitchell, MITCHELL. And I will see you guys next week. Florida Man out.
You know, man.